All right, and moving on, we welcome Cynthia Stark-Wickman from the San Juan Island Prevention Coalition for her subsidy report. Is Executive Coordinator Cynthia with us?
I'm not sure if she's here. She may be on the phone. If she's not, maybe we could do Lainey's report first. I think Lainey is here.
Okay. Lainey, would you like to go ahead?
Sure. I don't have all these pretty charts. And my numbers aren't quite as colorful, but and forgive me, I'm not that good at the technology and pulling it out. So you just got words and numbers. So community paramedicine seems to keep growing, and I kind of put together, not being certain what you wanted specifically, to let you know how some things have grown. Oh, I bet that's better than my
You are.
C3PO. Anyway, so I received most of my referrals through either ESO and EMS or the ER. But I also get referrals from Peace Health and Eventide and even the drugstore. In 2020, I got them only from about seven different areas. And in 2021, nine different areas were giving multiple referrals. So in 2020, there were 80 referrals with 78 active enrollments. And 48 were new in 2020, so that means the others were carryovers, and I don't could not figure out how to find out the number that got closed that year. There were 258 interactions in 2020 compared to 734 interactions in 2021, and we only have had 9 months of 2021. So that has grown a great deal as well. The patients' enrollments, although all that has gone up, the things that we have done for patients hasn't changed so much what we can offer for them. So the collaborations that we did in 2020 with Peace Health, we went out and did flu vaccine for all the shut-ins, and I don't couldn't find the number on that one in 2021. And Jack already talked about doing the COVID vaccine with Peace Health. So between Peace Health, Eventide, and the county, community paramedicine took 22 vaccinations out to individuals that are shut in. And one of them I included a thank you note from. And it says, "Hello, Lainey. Because of your COVID home vaccination outreach, I was able to confidently move forward with a much needed surgery. I am out of the wheelchair and living life fully again and with zero pain, thanks to you and your team's kind help through the pandemic. Oh, kind help through the pandemic. Many thanks again." And that was kind of nice, so gave that person back their life as far as they were concerned. And my one page that had all the numbers on it somehow didn't make it to the car.
I can pull
So that's
it up
okay. I
for
pulled it up
you.
on my phone.
I can pull it up on the screen if you'd like, Lainey.
Oh, I don't know that. Didn't they all get the piece of paper if they wanted to look at the numbers?
Okay.
Anyway, so the types of care provided outside of taking vaccines and doing some things that are different. Oh, and we even started doing something with the health department just this past week for some patients that they had never done before, in the going out into the homes. And the care that's been provided, the home safety checks and fall prevention have been done for years and years, but doing some helping people find phone numbers and people they can contact in order to do hirings and talking to their children, assisting them getting professional caregivers, medication management, wound care. And the wound care, for the most part, is I watched somebody learn how to take care of their wounds. So there was a lady who had a huge fall, went to Harborview, had skin grafts. And when she came back to the island, she had to do her own wound care. And I sat with her daily for about a week, and then she was comfortable with it and did it herself. And so that's most of what community paramedicine is doing. Do you guys have questions? I'm sorry, I'm really tired. I think I got the bulk of it.
I can see that the program has grown so much this year, and I understand why you're tired, but it also shows how important it is. So thank you for all you do, Lane. And we hope we're getting you support soon.
Thank you. Thanks. We have an interview coming up.
Good. Can't happen soon enough.
I know what wasn't written in there was that generally, or at least originally, the funds that you guys provided separate for community paramedicine were to pay for the Gelada program, which has risen to 7,000 and something a year. But it is a very robust program that continues to grow, and it has more ability than I do to give out information. And I will get better at doing that. I had my assistant did that previously. Was call the numbers.
Okay.
Lady's been a good sport, and she's definitely been over schedule and working a lot of hours. She wanted, I told her she didn't have to come tonight, that you know, I could make the presentation to the board, but she wanted to come, you know, at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday night because of her passion for community paramedicine and the work that she does. So, thank you, Lainey.
Thank you,
Lainey, so much.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Lainey.
If there's nothing further, we'll release you so you can have a relaxing evening.
Don't we want to vote?
Allocate some money.
Well, we do. Yes.
But we've got to decide later.
We don't have to in this case if you don't want. It's in our budget.
Yeah, it's already budgeted, but
it would be nice.
Yes, let's vote to send the funds to Salmon Island EMS for community paramedicine consistent with our prior agreements, and that will be $5,000. I would entertain a motion.
For the whole year. We've just done a few, like, by, you know, two of your payments, so this is for the whole year.
I make a motion that we fund the $5,000 to community paramedicine for the whole year.
Second that. Thank you, Gail. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. This unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Have we tracked down Cynthia, or are we just missing her tonight?
Commissioners, yeah, thank you, Lainey. Sorry.
Go ahead, Nathan.
I called and emailed. She did confirm last week that she was coming, so I don't know where she is. I suggest we move forward with our program. Hopefully nothing's wrong and she just forgot, but it's hard. No.
Do we need to have a presentation from her in order to approve the funds, or?
No, we do not, and that's a board decision if you'd like to release the money anyway, or we could wait until she comes. It's up to you. I have no preference, really. She's definitely doing the work. She's not here right now, but she is doing the work. But you may wish to wait for a report, so your call.
Gail?
Can we wait till next month and have her talk at the September meeting?
We can.
That sounds great. Let's do that. Okay, so we've moved through our presentations. We're clipping along. Unfinished business, we have committee reports and discussion. The first item there is the off-island transport committee. And I'm just wondering if we need to get rid of this committee because it doesn't seem to be receiving any attention or action. Is that fine with everyone? I guess that would be Everett and Kyle, I would ask, but this was something that was created by the previous board when they were pushing for a helipad, and it's sort of become a non-issue as far as I can tell with PIMC.
Yeah, we might as well get rid of it. We can always reinstate it if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, are you fine with that?
I was thinking we might split it into 2 to 3 committees.
You're very funny.
You're funny.
Okay, well, moving on then. The CCC, was there any activity there? No.
No.
EMS Trauma Care Council? No. The CID, we did just have some new news, I suppose, but we're continuing to wait and see what is negotiated. I'm looking forward to having that wrapped up. Finance Committee, Everett, do you have anything to weigh in?
No, everything was in order. Things were a little bit different this year for the month of July, because we had some unusual expenses, like the expense for the GEMT accounting firm, and we had a slightly lower than expected income from property taxes. I think it was $14,000, so it's not a large amount, but anyway, they all contributed to some unusual numbers. Everything was in order. So there was an explanation for everything that happened.
There were some transfers between EMS and the hospital district that have needed to be done for a while that we did. And you know, like some equipment that EMS purchased that went to the hospital district, and EMS hadn't picked up the tab on audit expenses in a year, some things like that. Yeah, we took a deep breath and got those sorted. So just long list of things we've been straightening out this year.
Good. All right, thank you. And then long-term care. I now understand what we can and cannot say based on our previous training. But I would note this is a committee that is Commissioners Lehman and Lachine Seitz. At this point, I do know we do not have a sales agreement officially with the village. So that would be something that we would look at and talk about and vote on in September. Is there anything to add on from either of you?
The committee in support, am I allowed to say that? The committee for passing the levy, mm-hmm. They are putting out frequently asked questions, facts on Facebook. And people are responding to that, and you know, answers or people's information is getting clarified, and that's been good because there's been a lot of misinformation out there, and the people that have gotten the facts have been really grateful that they understand what's actual and what is hearsay and rumor and so forth. So that's been good, just to get out to the public, you know, what the facts are. So I appreciate that work that's being done. And so there is a Facebook page, Long-Term Care Solutions. And that's the name of the committee. So
And we also have clarified with some of our partners what the project is all about. So we did talk with Michael Edwards and Rebecca from the Inner Island Healthcare Foundation about exactly what the project looks like and heard some of their concerns and some of their support of their ideas. And also Ann Presson from the Public Hospital District Board and the HRSA grant, we kind of figured out where everything dovetails and really did get support from both her and Beth that it's a, you know, a project that they can understand and, you know, see the need for in the community. So that was good to clarify with, you know, our partners. I think we've clarified certainly with the county as well about what it looks like. So I think people are starting to understand the project a lot better, which is awesome. And that'll go a long way toward toward progress.
Great. Now, is your committee, your long-term care committee, planning on putting out an FAQs mailer from the PhD? Is that something you've discussed? Is that a curiosity?
They're sending out their own.
I don't mean the long-term
from the PhD. Oh.
Yeah, I don't mean the long-term care solutions committee. I mean the PhD. Because it sounds like after that training with Matt today, that's something we're allowed to do.
I think it would be money well spent.
Nathan?
The hospital district is participating in the mailer with EMS this fall. Currently drafting language. It'll be reviewed by our attorney. And that's consistent with long planning that we would do that. We're not going to be mailing out the fact the FAQ is too long, but we'll definitely send out documents explaining the project and that sort of thing. So it's currently being drafted because it actually needs to be enter the process of review next week. So also working on the EMS part of the newsletter. It's quite a bit of work, but you all saw the newsletter over the summer and we're doing something like that this fall. There's going to be a section of it that's hospital district, not EMS. We did complete the FAQ, which has been reviewed by our attorney and is on our website. And anyone can use it and it is an official document. So that's there. The one thing we haven't done is update the proposal from the long-term care committee of the hospital district to the board, which we looked at last month. Feeling a little stuck on that. We know that we need to update parts of it, but we're having trouble with that. So, but yes, the public outreach component is well on its way. We give people facts. We're giving people information and they can make their own decision about it. If people want to vote against it, that's perfectly reasonable. You know, like it's a decision. Do we want to support long-term care in our county or not? And it's definitely an argument to be made either way. And we'll give people the information that they need to make that decision.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I liked what you said earlier or yesterday, even that it was basically equivalent to, for most average taxpayers to a yearly Netflix subscription.
That is true. Yeah. It
seems more than worth it to me. So, okay. Is there anything further on the long-term care committee? No. All right. So, community relations. I don't have much to say there. Trish, do you?
I don't. I'd just like to give a shout out to Clayton Banry. It used to be called the Record Run, but now it's called, forgive my ignorance, but the big run that we had Saturday. And Clayton came in, finished that course, and there's a big article in the paper about the wheelchair accessible van, which is now available for particularly our younger disabled community, the adults, the young adults. So that's pretty exciting. There's a great picture of Clayton in the paper.
Yeah. Pretty cool to have that independent
I think it's called the Free Wheelin' Program, right? Or something like that. Free Wheelin'.
I think you're
awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Trish. I think at this point we need to discuss the logo.
That logo.
I think you all have this in your packet with the current design. Is that, Steve, do you want to put that up? Does anyone have strong feelings about any of this?
I like the symmetrical tree with the roots myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not married to any of it, and I would go with the majority.
I don't like the symmetrical tree because it's another thing. Like, I know it's like used somewhere, because when I look at it, I go, that's used somewhere. It bothers me. I don't know where. I guess I'll try to figure it out. But
it looks a lot like the Family Resource Center logo.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Steve, I worked there. Maybe that's one.
Sorry.
I can pull up the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the spring tree with, I mean, the Spring Street tree without the sunset, whatever that one is. Because the sunset and the bird is a little much, but just the tree and the little line, I just like that. And I like that it's our tree. It's actually a tree from Dunwin Island.
That one?
Yeah, move it over a little bit more to the left. There you go, yeah. That one or the one next to it, yeah. The one next to it, actually, the one on the other, to the one to the right.
This one.
Yeah, that's it. Whoops. Yeah, so.
I can live with that
either one. Either one of those. I like either one of those with the words under or to the side.
Well, so it's basically it's the same logo. It's just using it in different ways. So what we can do. Definitely, we can take out the sunshine, the sun, and the bird. I really like this one as well. So, you know, I think it can look really good. It won't cause any issues taking out the. Now, what she did do for us is create what business cards might look like, what letterhead would look like, and an email signature. And I think it would look great without the little sun in there. But I just need your guys' permission to go ahead with this.
Well, I would make a motion to adopt bottom line, second from the left, as our new logo.
I would second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to follow. All right. Okay? Very much. Okay. My presentation
Got
is
it.
Over.
Look at that. Thank you, everyone. And Steve, if you could take that down. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I'm relieved.
Thanks
you guys
for all your hard work on that, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, for your patience. Let's see. We are now moving on to new business. I need my glasses. Let's see. The updated retention and public records policy. Nathan, I'm going to let you handle this one.
I think Steve can take it as our public records officer.
Oh, really?
Okay. Nathan, you're better placed to take this one for right now.
It's just a policy update, right? That's all it is.
Didn't you work on this with Catherine?
Yeah, I worked on this with Catherine as part of the HRSA update that we did with our policies and procedures manual. Mm-hmm. We just saw that there was a need to have a really finely updated and tuned up version of it. I don't have it here on my screen. I could pull it up, but it basically just refines our policies and procedures and makes them consistent between the EMS and the PhD. And it incorporates a lot of the laws surrounding the policies and procedures. The one we had was pretty outdated and just really needed a lot of work. Did you guys get a copy of that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions about it?
It is pretty pro forma. I don't think there's any big surprises in here. The only thing that didn't make it in here was that it, when it comes to texting, I retain texts between any of the commissioners and me, and so you don't need to maintain those. That didn't make it into the policy. It is what it is.
We can update that as well if you want.
No, it's fine. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily be a matter of policy, but it's a matter of convenience for commissioners, so you don't have to. I'm the person you're most likely to text that would generate public records. And so if I just maintain them for all of us, it's easier. But you would still need to be responsible for any texts between you.
Okay. Do you need us to vote on this, Nathan, or to approve it?
Yeah, it's all policy. We're all about policies tonight, reports and policies, long tedious policies.
Okay, well, so do I hear a motion to approve our updated retention and public records policy?
Yes, you do. Yeah. So moved.
I do. I'm almost hearing it if ever it wasn't.
I think Commissioner Clary seconded, or vice versa.
Okay.
Commissioner Clary, you're muted.
Okay, so all in favor of the...
Aye.
Thank you. I know we have meeting fatigue. We're doing great, you guys. Home stretch here. All right, so next on the agenda is Resolution 21-553A, Resolution Requiring Vaccination for Healthcare Providers, and Policy 4-022-21. I don't think many of us have any questions about this. It's a mandate, so commentary.
Now this policy is being, so I know that, so basically we have the right to impose this policy, and since it's a state law, we must do so. But the union has the right to bargain impacts, so, you know, we adopt this policy, presumably, and resolution, and at this, but I'm also actively bargaining impacts with the union. So I feel for our union rep, honestly. He's having to bargain this all over the state, and it's been pretty contentious, and it's not really contentious here. It doesn't impact many people. So anyway, you know that we're gonna have to sign an MOU with the union, but I will handle all of that. The main thing you guys have to do is just assert that you want to follow the law, and we'll do so.
Yeah, I think we're not as challenged as other agencies potentially, but pretty high unvaccinated. Right. So we're this is not a huge deal for us, but I'm really interested in following the law. So I say that we approve resolution 21-553, and I would hear a motion, entertain a motion to do so.
Go.
Bye.
I was letting that we do so. Yeah, I got it unmuted this time.
Okay, I second.
Okay, is there any discussion?
I say aye.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. And we then amended our agenda to talk about policy 1-047-21 FMLA, WFCA, and PFML policy. So this will allow us to button up how we handled paid family medical leave. And Nathan, did you want to take this one?
I can't imagine this is terribly interesting, but I guess I can summarize. You know, the Family Medical Leave Act is a federal law, FLMA or FMLA, and we're required to comply with federal law. However, since we have under 50 employees, we have no employees that qualify for FLMA or FMLA. So that is in the policy, but no employees are covered by that policy, by that law. But that's just how it works. So the other two laws here, you know, Paid Family Medical Leave Act allows employees to take unpaid leave, which is paid for through payroll tax. And we never have a policy regarding that. And there are quite a few, like employees tend to regard that as a free ride, and don't always understand the impacts of what they're doing. For instance, we don't actually have to hire people back. It's a tiny detail. We don't have to give them health insurance. We don't have to allow them to supplement their income using PTO time. So setting a clear policy that says, here's what we'll do and here's what we won't do, makes sense. So for instance, we'll allow people to maintain their health coverage, provided that they cash out PTO to pay for their portion of any health insurance. We will not allow them to accrue PTO time while on paid leave. This doesn't make any sense to let people do so. So it just sort of clarifies these sorts of things. It's a long, detailed policy, mostly written by our attorney, but those are the elective things in it, the input that I had on it.
I'm just updating our policies. It was a long, interesting read. Okay. Does anyone have any commentary on this? No. I would entertain a motion then to approve the updated FMLA, WFCA, and PFML policy. Or I could just make that motion. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
I'll second that.
Okay, is there any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. Let's see. Now we have staff reports for San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 and San Juan Island Emergency Medical Services. And it was interesting to read this, Nathan, because it seemed to me, at least in August, that what I'm hearing is that EMS has been really busy and there have been a lot of challenging calls and that the team has really been pulling together and working hard. And that's August so far, but I just was noticing that there's a little bit of a decrease in July over calls from last year, which is surprising.
Yeah, it was a little surprising, particularly since overall our call volume for the year is actually up from 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is mainly that we've had a lot of difficult calls. I mean, a number is just a number. You know, it's, you know, some of those calls didn't make patient contact, or you didn't transport, or the patient really wasn't very sick, but we've had hard calls with really sick and injured patients, and had some pretty significant accidents, and it's been a rough couple months, honestly, and we don't have, you know, tons of responders, so we've managed pretty well, and our people are awesome, but I would say it's been a difficult summer.
And And that's something that we always expect, you know, because volume goes up and things like that. But, you know, I think just what Linda McCarthy was saying is that her staff is fatigued. And, you know, I would imagine your staff is too, to a certain extent, even though they're performing at extremely high levels. You know, there's trauma on call. You're seeing people at the worst day of their life. So. Just hope people are holding up all right, and that they know how important they are. I'll let you go ahead and on your ops report. I know we've all read it, and is there anything in particular you'd like to share with us?
Is that an invitation to go quickly?
No, yes.
Okay. So the amended budget has not been input yet, but it should show up for August. I mean, we're where we should be. We're doing fine on both budgets. We, you know, the hospital district has $843,000 in cash. The Peace Health subsidy did go up quite a bit, $35,000. So our cash will be quite low next month. Actually, that won't show up until the October board meeting, probably, depending on whether we can get that warrant out in August or September. But then we'll be getting that, you know, the property taxes this fall. I don't know. There's not really a lot to say about it. We spent a lot of time on finances. I feel pretty comfortable that you all know what's going on, and it's been reviewed by the board, by the finance committee. We've also all been party to the news about our levy lid lift and the decision on the integration. So I won't belabor that here, particularly since there aren't really any members of the public, and people that want to read the report can read it online. We just talked about the stats. Our response times continue to be strong. We're very busy right now. I mean, we're working on the newsletter, working on drafting 2022 budgets, working on, you know, those will need to include a component that has to do with the taking in the village, if that's successful, and also what it would look like if integration goes through in the 2022 budget. We just renewed our EMS license. We applied for the rural attestation, which allows us to have non-medically trained responders that drive rigs for us. We're also working on our outer island response and marine issues. We put the Sentinel in the water on Tuesday and immediately had two outer island calls, both of which were serious major injuries. Colin Stewart, where they had to carry the patient a half mile through pretty rugged terrain. So making sure that we have, you know, adequate responders and are able to handle those calls is crucial. We need to be thinking about a bond application so that we were able to meet the February closing date if the levy passes. Lots of policies and procedures stuff, you know, bargaining, a lot of bargaining, PFML, the vaccine policy, working on the public records policy. Our sales agreement with the village should be done within the next week. It'll be delivered on time to the village. You're supposed to deliver that agreement within 30 days. It doesn't have to be signed in 30 days. And then they'll kind of review it and look at it. And the next big thing, once that agreement's done, is to start working on the ILA with fire. The hiring situation is ongoing. Brought on Herb Mason, longtime volunteer as a per diem EMT. Since he's retired, he kind of has time to be able to take shifts. You know, one of the problems with that per diem policy is we were always second or third or fourth priority, so people can always take shifts that we need them to take. And but we did get news today that another EMT is resigning. That means we've lost two within a month. We only have four staff EMTs, and so it's a little tiring. We're working on it. We'll be fine, but. You know, they both, in both instances, you know, very, very polite, very
kind resignation letters. They're not angry over anything. They just have family situations they're dealing with. Trying to deal with the impacts of, you know, new state laws affecting how law can respond, dealing with COVID. Margaret's off to medic school now. She was a per diem. Now she's off to medic school. She starts the residential portion on September 27th. Getting ready for the audit in November. It's never too soon for that. A lot of different operational things. Our new medic rigs in service, trying to get updated maps on them. So working on an EMT class this fall and trying to get some non-medical responders to help with marine response too. Just people that can help carry people. So we're very busy. There's a lot going on. But that's what's going on. Any questions?
I hope you're doing all right, Nathan. I know it's a great deal to shoulder, and I hope that you can take some time off for just a day or two here coming up. I think you need it. I know it's hard to do, but I think you need some rest. You've been working really hard to push these programs through and all of the things we've been working on.
I appreciate that. I have a love-hate relationship with time off. It always seems like time off back. It's exhausting.
I know. I can totally relate to that. Like sometimes it doesn't feel worth it, but it is for you personally. I think the rest, physical rest.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm okay. I'm sorry, Trish. What was that?
I said we have to take care of you.
Yeah.
I really am okay. It's a little rough having two resignations and losing a third employee. It's really three employees within 2 or 3 months. So. It's a little rough, you know, and hiring is really hard right now. I mean, everyone, no one has enough staff, and it's likely to get worse. I mean, on the mainland, you know, a lot of fire districts are losing substantial portions of their employees because of the COVID mandate. So it's just overall a hard situation to be employing people. But you know what? We did have a mass casualty a couple weeks ago with 4 injuries, a bicycle accident. Family, we were able to roll out 3 ambulances with 2 people per rig while having a concurrent marine response to an outer island. So our people come through when they're needed.
That's wonderful.
Yes, we're very, very, very fortunate to have the quality and caliber of our EMS volunteers and staff. And
we are.
Everybody steps up to the plate. It's a tough job, and I know they've had a tough summer.
It's been a tough summer. We've been treating COVID patients and, you know, families of infected COVID patients, you know, whole household, you know. But you know what? This crew runs towards that. The tones go off, and, you know, they're running to the ambulance, and they're heading out, and they're not hesitating, and they're doing what they need to do, and they're staying safe, and they're vaccinated, and they're taking precautions. Really, it's they're doing as well as I have any right to expect of them, and more. So it's a sobering responsibility, and every day I just want to do right by them. Really, that's why I work long hours. So I mean, I get paid the same either way, but you know, I want to make sure they're okay, because they're certainly putting everything on the line for us. And so I feel pretty good about where we're at, and there's a lot of work to be done. But I feel pretty positive, and I feel good about where we're headed and our ability to deal with the challenges we have. And I think the board has given us the key decisions and guidance that we need to move forward, whether it's integration or, you know, our hospital district lid lift. You know, we're, as a district, we're making the decision we need to do to get where we need to be. So I'm pretty happy about it. I'm a little tired tonight, but I'm happy. So.
Okay, thank you, Nathan. Long day, I know. Well, if there is nothing further, we do have an audience participation segment at this point. I'm not sure that we have much audience
We have two, one of which I think just came on about 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, at this point, you can hit star 6 to unmute yourself if you have something to share with the board. If not, any commissioner comments at this time?
Yes, I need to correct myself. The name of the Facebook page is Long-Term Care Solutions Committee. So,
okay.
That, I left the committee part off. Long-Term Care Solutions Committee.
Hashtag keep care local. Okay, well.
Hashtag it takes a village.
It takes a village.
Deanna Osborne gets total credit for that.
All right, everyone. If there is nothing further, I thank you all for your time and attention tonight. And I would move to adjourn this meeting.
Good night, commissioners.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Nathan. Good night, everyone.
Good night, all. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Sure.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right.
Steve, you're going to stop the recording.